Blog Talk Radio.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing.
To the Judy Joy Jones Show. I believe that Elvis does not want to quit. Let me try one more time. We were starting the show with Jailhouse Rock by Elvis Presley, obviously Elvis, and you might be wondering why that song. Well, after I introduce our guest for today, I think you're going to totally understand that it would fit very well for this particular guest to explain why the person who is the star of her book might be well put behind a jailhouse door. And I want to tell you how excited I am to have Paula L. Tutman. Paula is an Emmy-winning TV reporter, and her book is called Deadline, D-E-A-D-L-I-N-E. And if everyone will look on our description page, we have everything about the book that we could possibly fit in. We couldn't put that much, but we do have Paula's website, and that is www.paulatutman.com. I'm going to bring Paula up, but first I'm going to bring up our special co-host, Amy. I'm sorry, Beth Berry, just a moment. Beth?
Uh-huh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you, and thank you for being on the show today. I'm just really pleased. And I'm going to go ahead and bring up our guest, if it's all right with you.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Hello.
Hello. Paula, hi.
Hello. I think you guys rock. That
Aww.
Is a great song. You guys totally rock. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Well, I thought about different songs, and I thought, you know what? From what everything I've read in her book, you know, let's go for the jail.
You know what? You might be right about that. It's very apropos.
So, Paula, you are amazing because you not only have an Emmy on your mantle, from what I read, but you also have, like, many numerous Emmy nominations plus 6 Associated Press Awards. And Alpha Chi, is it? Award
Alpha
for news.
Chi.
Uh-huh. And I'm just like, whoa. Do you ever relax or what?
No.
No.
No. You know what? I live like 4 lives. There, I'm a working journalist in Detroit at WDIV-TV4, ABC affiliate. I'm also the founder and chair of an organization, Children's Tooth Fairy Foundation, and we actually raise money to pay for dental care for uninsured kids.
Aww.
I'm traveling with this book, which goes national this year. I just got back from the Virginia Festival of the Book. It was great. I actually sold out of books at every event. That part,
oh
not
God.
So great.
That's great.
And then I try to eke out a little bit of a life every once in a while. So.
Right. What's
relax?
That?
What is relax? What do you mean relax? What is that word? I don't understand it.
Now, you have a big convention coming up next month, right, in New York City?
I do. You've been doing your homework.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Book Expo America, BEA in New York. It's just a huge event, and it's just really exciting to be a part of this. I was also invited last November to be at Authors Night for the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and I've been a journalist for years. I can't tell you how many years because my twin sister will kill me. But how exciting to be a first-time author and to be invited to these events or accepted at these events. Oh, it's been so much fun.
Now, you have
Go ahead. I was going to say, you were talking about the Emmys and the Emmy nominations. And that's not what touches my ego.
Okay.
That stuff, it's my work, and I love my work, and I love my job. I don't always love my job, but I always love my work. And I love my job and my work at the same time this month. But that's not how my ego works. I love being an author. I love signing books and talking to people, and people want to read my – I love that.
Interesting. And here you're getting all these Emmys. Well, my gosh, life is kind of – well, who knows? You're going to probably – who knows? Another book. Now, Paul, I wanted to ask you, when you said, I didn't know about the twin sister, is that identical or paternal or what?
No, it's paternal, but the older we get, the more we look like her, thank goodness.
Ah, okay.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. Okay. I had no idea. Did you have a background in policemen in your family, or what in the world got you into police reporting?
I stumbled into it accidentally.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, my twin sister is a journalist as well, so we both kind of stumbled into it. I was teaching, and I loved the kids and hated the parents and knew I didn't want to teach anymore and was trying to figure out what to do. I was working at a department store in Knoxville, Tennessee, and somebody heard my voice and said, wow, you should be on television. And I've got to be honest with you. I never even watched the news. The first time I saw the news, I was on it as a reporter. I was raised in a household. We were not allowed to watch television. And so, all of the kids got our parents back. We all ended up on television.
Isn't that you know, that's one of those fairy tale stories. Oh, your voice, you belong on TV, and all of a sudden you got an Emmy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
Isn't that insane? I know people were probably like, well, who did they sleep with? But nobody, I swear it.
No, come on. Well, maybe it's like Oprah Winfrey. You just had a dream, and it got bigger and bigger. But you're telling me you didn't even have this dream.
No. I always wanted to be a writer. And lo and behold, I stumbled into this occupation that gives me so much fodder to write. The book is actually loosely based on something that happened to me when I was a younger police reporter in Baltimore.
I read that. Tell us about that. You've got to, oh, my gosh.
Well, first of all, let me give you the premise of the book. Like you said, it's called Deadline. And the premise of the book is a reporter shows up on the scene of a double murder. Two teenagers have been just killed ruthlessly. Mm. And she has no idea who would perpetuate this kind of evil. What she doesn't realize is the killer is still on the scene. And it's kind of a crime of opportunity, but he just kind of hangs around. He kind of wants to see his handiwork, wants to see what kind of mayhem he creates. Anyway, he sees this reporter strolling up, and he goes, wow, that's my favorite reporter. I love her.
Oops.
And then he makes a decision right there that if he keeps killing, she'll probably keep showing up to cover his murders, and he'll get an opportunity to meet her and make her his. So that's the premise of the book. It's loosely based on a crime in Baltimore. I've not said who it is, even though these are my experiences. The book is fiction. I know that the victim's family still lives, or families still live in the Baltimore area. I know it'll come out eventually.
Sure.
But I really have some rules of, deliberately re-victimizing victims. Again, it is fiction. These are my experiences that I'm drawing from.
Okay.
But I just see no reason to say who the killer is. I think people in Baltimore and Washington, mm-hmm. when they read the book, they'll probably recognize the killer. At any rate, this guy developed an obsession with me, and it played out in the courtroom. And it was terrifying, and everything I was terrified would happen is in the book.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And you were actually, he did fall in love with you, and so he thought, well, if I keep committing a crime one day, if I keep murdering, it wasn't just a crime.
Well, I have no reason to believe that he committed those crimes to get to me. That part is fiction in the book. The first time I believe we met was at his arraignment. He knew who I was. He knew exactly who I was, actually turned around and spoke to me.
Oh, my God.
And I was shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh, who am I talking to? But I have no reason to believe that I would call him a serial murderer. He just killed wantonly and capriciously. But I have no reason to believe he did that to get next to me. But that is the premise of the book.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You will never know, probably, if that was, but just the thought that it might be, you know, I think you're very, very, very brave to be that honest and open with this, because if it were me, I don't know that I would have kept on, you know, but you're very, very open about it, which, well, that's what makes your book. You know, I'm looking at your book right now, actually. I have a copy of it. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's a great cover. Who designed the cover?
I don't know. That would be whoever the publisher got.
Oh, okay. Who is your publisher?
The publisher is Daily Swan, an independent publisher in California. I've not met my publisher.
Oh, okay.
Everything's done, you know, gosh, I guess because of the internet and all of that. Everything's done. My agent is Diane Nine, and she's publisher, and it's been very, very exciting. It's been a very exciting experience. I love that people are reading this book and they're telling me that it changes the way they watch the news.
Well, you know, it's well written, and it's also very easy to read. I'm looking through it. It's just like you pick it up and you want to skim, and then you want to go back and read word for word, because it's not like little bitty print with 500 pages. No.
it's a big book. It's a big book. You know what? Most people are telling me that they're reading it in about 2 days. There was one man who actually emailed me and said he read it in one night, but I believe he didn't have a life.
That's a compliment to you, Paula, because it sounds.
That depends on whether or not you have a life.
That's right. Now, where can we get your book? Can we get it at private booksellers?
Yes, you can get it. Your bookseller should be able to get it if they're not already. Like I said, it's in about 17 states right now that I can tell. It goes national this year. Borders carries it, Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to the bookstore and say, hey, I want to read that book, Deadline, by Paula Tutman, they can get it. You can get it from Amazon.
Yeah, I know.
Is that how you got it? Well, how did you?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, how did you get the book? Did you get it from Amazon? Or did we send you a copy?
No, you sent me a copy, but actually it's scrolling back and forth on the description page through Amazon.com, and you can click and buy the book right now. But can you get it through the publisher as well?
No, what I...
You're not sure about
that.
That's okay.
I don't think so. I think you got to go... The only thing about Amazon is it's so hard to get credits toward bestseller because they're so vast.
Uh-huh.
They're just so vast. I mean, obviously, I want people to read the book. Read the book.
Sure.
But if you can get it from your independent bookseller, first of all, you're going to help your local economy.
That's right.
But the other thing is they also report, and it's just easier to track for bestseller status.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, now you're going to actually do a series of books, right, Paula? Am I correct on that? You're coming out with another book?
There are two. Yeah. This one is the first book of two. And if people really like the main character, P.S. Garrett, who is fat, she really is. She's not me. I will say this. She is sloppy like I am. So on any given day, she'll trip over a pile of clothing in the middle of the floor. But other than that, she really is not me. She's based on me. If people really like P.S. Garrett, she's lovably flawed, and she's injured. You don't really get why until toward the end of the book.
Okay.
But she's got work ethic and she cares about people. I guess in that way we're very similar. But if people like P.S. Garrett, then absolutely I can bring her back for more. Again, it's my debut novel. I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully it gets to that tipping point.
Well, you know, we never know, but I can guarantee you I'll be the one to buy the next book because I want to know about this guy. You know, I mean, it's come on. I could not believe that this was based on a true story. I don't think I've dealt with anything yet like this. And I thought, oh, man. And, you know, whenever Beth, who is our co-host, said she'd be on the show, you know, she was kind of like, wow, I just feel compelled to be on the show. Isn't that right, Beth? You just kind of...
Very, very interesting. I can't wait to buy the book, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did he tell you in the courtroom that he was stalking you, or did the police find that out for you?
Well, again, I have no reason to believe that this guy was stalking me. I have had three stalkers, and it's terrifying. I have no reason to believe that this guy was stalking me. But I'll tell you what he was doing in court. He would just clown. He would carry on. Every time I went into the courtroom, and I honestly thought the judge was going to throw me out because I was the disruption. His trial was actually changed. It was on a change of venue. I can't remember. I think it was Cumberland Mountains in Maryland. But anyway, I was late to court one day, and I was stooping over, and the entire courtroom gasped. And I was like, what did this idiot do now? And I looked up, and he had gotten away from the deputies, and he was standing in front of me.
Oh, my God, Paula.
And raised his hand, and I shielded my eyes because I thought he was going to stab me.
Oh, my.
And when nothing happened, I kind of peeked through my fingers, and he was holding a handful of love notes and letters.
Oh.
Of course, I was so shocked that he'd gotten away from the deputies. My photographer nudged me and said, take the letters, stupid. And so I kind of grabbed the letters.
Mm-hmm.
When I was writing the book, actually the first draft of the book, my father was reading it, and he said, wow, you know, it's just not nefarious enough. It doesn't have an edge. And that's when I went back to the love letters and the notes and my pre-trial reports.
Sure.
And that's when I started building the killer. So that's why I say it's loosely based.
Oh, sure.
I just want to, you know, I definitely want to say it is fiction, though a lot of the things in the book actually did happen. I know my mom read it. She would say, oh, I remember when that happened, or, you know, Paula, oh, did that really happen? After a while and you're writing this book, you can't remember what happened and what didn't.
You become the character.
Oh, yeah.
You just got, wow. But, you know, Paula, for him to hand you love letters.
Oh, my God.
Give me a break.
You know, I still get goosebumps when I think about that.
That is crazy.
It was yesterday.
Someone, I hate to say, does anybody have on their speakers of their computer? Because I'm getting a feedback. I don't know. I'm sure all of
Could it be my cell phone? Should I call in on another number?
No, that's all right. If it's your cell phone, that's fine. Sometimes when we leave our speakers on of the computer, it'll give us a feedback. And, like, I don't know what that – you're not talking on a speakerphone, right?
No. I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, so we're going to go right on. And I wanted to ask you, Paula, when you were a little girl, did anyone ever tell you, or did you just decide that something in you knew you wanted to write? You were encouraged by someone, or what happened?
Well, we had great parents and a great childhood. I have an older brother, Fred. My twin sister is Lisa. We just had a great childhood, except we were not allowed to watch television. We were allowed to read. We were allowed to create. We were allowed to paint. We were allowed to paint on the walls. I used to write poetry on my sheet. My mother says I wrote my first poem at the age of, I think she says four. I think it was six. I just always, you know what, this is going to sound corny, but this is true. Writing to me is air. I write for news every day. You know, I write news stories every day. It's not the same as when I'm working on novels or poetry. It is air.
Huh.
Everything, when I hear the voice, not voices, that's a whole different problem. But when I hear the voice and it's speaking to me and I can see these characters and taste them and feel them, it is a different experience for me. It's very ethereal. I think I've always known I'd be a writer. But how exciting to walk in and see your book at a bookstore.
Right. So all of your path up until now has led you to pick up the pen and write the book that you wrote. And, you know, everyone out there, I want to encourage you all to go to Paula's website. It is Paula Tutman, TUTMAN.com. And, Paula, we have a switchboard lit up like a firecracker. And I know.
You're kidding.
No, we do.
Yippee. Hey, Judy and Beth, yes. I do want to give you another website, which may be easier to remember.
Please,
and that's deadlinethebook.com. Deadlinethebook.com.
All right, deadlinethebook.com.
Correct.
Okay.
Great.
Got it.
Great.
And also, you can buy her book on the description page of today's show. You can click on it. That's Amazon.com. And you can find many other places to buy it. I think it might be available on Daily Swan. I could be wrong. And you can check that out. And that is her publisher. And I'm sure it's available. If you go to your local bookstore and just ask them, you know,
awesome.
Say, please get Deadline by Paula.
Get that book. I need to read it
now. I
got to
read it. I got to have it.
Got to have it.
And you're working at what TV station right now, Paula?
WDIV.com. It's in Detroit. It's the NBC affiliate in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, okay. So anyone out there, and when, what time are you on at night or whatever?
I'm a morning girl. I'm a morning correspondent. I'm on the air between 5 and 7 in the morning. I'm at work at 3 a.m. I get up at 2 a.m. and
oh my gosh,
operate on about 4 hours of sleep a night.
Good girl.
Gotta get that girl.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm going to bring up, we have a caller, 248. Let me see who this is. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who am I talking to?
This is Steve. I work with Paula.
Hi, Steve.
So, hi, Paula. How are you?
I'm good. You're supposed to be in bed.
I know, shouldn't I? Yeah. Paula gets in at 3:30. I get in at 1. So,
woo!
Yeah. We know the mornings.
Wow. And so y'all are on the air together.
Oh, well, actually, I'm a writer for the morning show. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
I have read
Paula's. Absolutely. Yeah. It was one of the first things I did when I actually started working at WDIV about a year ago. And one of the first things I did was buy the book because I met Paula right away because she was working on the morning show where I was working. And, you know, let me tell you, I'm a news geek. So I love stories about journalists to begin with, but this story is just, it's captivating. I mean, you've got a love story and a mystery, and, you know, just like Paula said earlier, I think it just gives you this new perspective that you think differently when you watch the news. I think it'll help people who don't work in the business understand what we do a little bit more.
Well, you know, that's what I feel like, because we all are intrigued by the newscasters and all that, but we don't know the nitty-gritty that goes into actually doing and pursuing that profession, and from what Paula's telling us, there are some it could be deadly.
Right. You're absolutely right. I mean, some of the things the reporters see when they get to the scene, I mean, there's a lot of things that you see don't make it to TV.
That's a great point, Steve. You're right.
I mean, there's tons of stuff, and to be able to handle that and then try to live a normal life it's interesting. You know.
Now, why, Steve? Don't they make it? Why doesn't it? You know, certain things. Why don't they make it to TV?
Well, I think some things are just too gruesome. I mean,
okay.
I mean, you get to an accident scene sometimes. You know, before the police show.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Or, you know. And the things that you see, I mean, they stick with you. I mean, I remember the first time as an intern when I went out with a reporter and just to see something so shocking that you've never really seen before. I mean, and Paula paints the picture perfectly just in the first couple chapters of that book when she talks about the murder scene where the two teenagers had been killed. I mean, it's gruesome. And the things that you see, But don't make it on TV. I mean, you realize it.
Hey, Steve, you know, I think I owe Steve lunch tomorrow.
Really?
Steve.
In the mail, man. Your check is in the mail.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling in, Steve, and we really appreciate it. And I'm going to bring up next area code 713. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Eric?
Yes.
Hi. Is this Eric? And I think you're a coworker.
I am a coworker of Paula's, yes. I am on the same shift that Paula works. I am the morning weatherman that works with Paula.
Hey, Eric.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
We're all supposed to be in bed.
I know, exactly. As soon as I'm off the phone here, I'm going to bed. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And, you know, Paula's book is a Deadline. It's actually one of the best books I've read in a long, long time. I couldn't put it down.
You.
Couldn't get it out of my mind. And actually, at the end of the show, we kind of have a surprise for you, Paula. And yeah, no, it's good. It's good. But, well, Eric, tell us all the nitty-gritty about Paula, all the things that she wouldn't want to hear.
Don't you dare, Eric. Don't you dare.
Honestly, Paula is one of the most genuine people I have ever met in the news business. What you see
now I got to buy another lunch. Another double
cheese. Paula is the quintessential reporter. She pulls no punches. She tells it like it is. And it's really interesting because when I read the book, I too read it when I was fairly new to the station. I've been at WDIV for about a year, very similar to Steve. And I hadn't known Paula very long before she gave me a copy of the book to read. And first of all, I thought the book was fantastic, but I could really see Paula's personality coming through just in the style that she wrote the book in. And from what I knew of Paula at the time, it seemed like the main character seemed a lot like her personality-wise, just, you know, very very caring about how she approached her job, you know, took her job very seriously, was frustrated by the politics of the business to some extent, but there was a lot of Paula that I could see in the main character.
You know, I think what we're going to do is let Paula, well, we're going to stay on the line, if it's all right with you, Eric, and let her call in from a different number. We're getting some kind of feedback that none of us quite understand. Would that be all right, Paula?
Absolutely. I'm going to call in, and it's going to be 248-299 number.
Got it. Okay, and we'll just keep on talking. We'll talk about you.
Uh-oh. All right, call you in a minute.
All right. Bye. So, bye. You know, the thing about having, you know, people that know her and work with her makes it a lot easier for all of us to get to know more about her book. Honestly, when I picked up that book, Deadline, I thought, oh, no, a story based on a true story about, you know, a reporter. And I just thought, oh, man, scared me to death. And I thought, oh, gosh. And so what you're saying is actually you could really hear her voice coming through, right?
Yeah, just the way she wrote the book, you know, it was just very conversational, very real, just a very honest account to me. And it was a fantastic book. The plot was great. You know, I had a lot of frustrations with the characters, but I think that's really what makes a book good. There are things that you really like about the characters. There are things that really frustrate you.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, the whole thing rolled up makes it just a fantastic book. And as I was reading it, I knew it was based on an experience she had in Baltimore. So I was trying to, you know, kind of imagine Paula in that setting, kind of going through those same events. And it's just, it was absolutely amazing. And it was interesting to me, too. I'm the meteorologist on the morning shift with Paula. And I don't really get a chance to kind of view the world from a reporter's perspective.
Sure.
The reporters are the ones that are out there. They're, you know, getting into, you know, the gritty situations, the crime scenes, the accidents, you know, things that I'm really insulated from because I work in the studio. So it was fascinating for me just to kind of read her account of what a reporter's life is like because it's something that I'm not familiar with, being in the news business yet being so far removed from what a reporter does. Honestly, the reporter, I think, has the hardest job in the news business.
Okay. Now, Paula, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Is that better?
It.
That sounds better to me.
Yeah, it sounds much better, and thank you. I actually just got my email, and I don't know what the feedback – yeah, it's perfect. Great. Thanks.
Perfect.
perfect. So,
sorry about that. I'm someplace other than I thought I'd be.
Oh, well, no problem. I figured you would be. You're a reporter. You're not going to be in one spot. I told Beth I've got a couple of numbers here. I don't know where she'll be.
It'll be one of them.
One of them. And we also have a friend, I think, let me see, 313. Hello? Hello?
Hi, I'm Kathy Champion. How are you?
Hey, Kathy.
Hi. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Good. Don't you have a book club meeting tonight?
I do, and I'm stepped out into the hall to make this call.
Aww.
I thought it was very apropos I'd be in a book club.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy
Thank
Champion
you.
Is a great friend of mine, and actually hosted a book signing event at Grosse Pointe Yacht Club. And it was so much fun. It was a beautiful backdrop, beautiful, beautiful club.
All positive comments, and everybody is waiting to find out if there's going to be a sequel, but I think we already know the answer to that.
I think we do. I'm waiting. This is one of those books. You know, it's like, man, I never read murder mysteries, but I could not stop. And I thought, whoa, you know, whoever and that's Daily Swan.
Daily Swan is the publisher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this has got to be an all-out, I mean, this is one of those things you think can't happen, but
it did.
And, you know, well, I guess you guys know each other, you're friends, and so everybody's going to say, well, yeah, you're positive about our book because you're friends. But it really is an easy go. You know, you can read this book in a couple of days, can't you?
It's one that you just, it's a page turner, as we like to say. But it is,
yeah.
but it's got substance to it. It's not something that you necessarily want, you know, just flip the pages. It does have great characters that you really begin to get involved with. And I told Paula when I first read it, I can see this being a TV series because the characters are so, you know, you want to follow them around all the time. So.
Me too. Absolutely.
I think it's a,
Kathy.
I just think it's a great
I want to follow it from week to week. I couldn't agree more. I could easily.
Don't you think that? I think the life of a television reporter is so fascinating for those of us who watch the news on a daily basis, and then to think that, you know, all this is happening. We never get to see the behind the scenes stuff.
No.
It's really neat to see the development and all the work that goes into putting together a show. And
when we watch TV, it looks so easy and
short.
Absolutely. But we don't see what goes on behind the scenes.
No, and we think, oh, well, they just get up out of bed, put on their makeup.
Oh, people think we just put on, you know, put on lipstick and we're there.
Yeah.
I realize we've worked for 6 to 8 hours.
Just
you
get
know,
it.
Grounding and, ugh.
And
you
what time
have,
do you have to get up in the morning?
What time?
Well, I get up at 2 a.m.
Oh, my God, Paul!
But you know what? I'm a morning person anyway, and thank goodness I don't drink coffee, or I wouldn't be able to stand me. I'm pretty energetic at 2.
2
a.m.
Do you jog?
Oh, you know, I used to cycle. I sail. Kathy's a sailor, but I race. I ski.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty active when I'm able to be. Right now, my schedule is just tough.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have that extra adrenaline that most of us don't have. And we watch the newscasters and we think, oh, their makeup looks good, their hair looks good. You know, we're thinking all that.
But you know what? I'm one of those Kathy watches. So I would say that I'm not one of those well-coiffed anchors. I would definitely say that I'm a little scruffy.
No, she is. She's
gorgeous.
She's
you know what?
Yeah, she's out there.
She's on the front page of the radio station we're on, and her picture is right next to the cover of her book, and I have had more comments on how beautiful you are, Paula.
Stop it.
Yeah, she is. And she's beautiful on the inside, too.
Oh,
isn't that corny?
Gorgeous.
She really
gorgeous.
Is. Gorgeous. Well, that's like, no, but that's how she can write such a great book too is that she's you know
something
she it's not just
yeah.
a, it's not just a, on the surface she's really got a lot more going than
on
just that
inside.
Little face Yes.
Well, maybe the makeup artist does it. I don't know, but that picture you they picked to put on, my God, that's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. That's very nice of you. I appreciate
that. Yeah. Well, I would like to kind of take a break. Would that be all right with y'all? And I'll play a little song by a 13-year-old singer we had on our show. Her name is Amelia Bloom. She's from Australia. And I thought it would be fun to kind of just listen and lay back for a minute or two, and then we'll come back on. We've still got brand new callers.
Oh, awesome.
Wait.
Thank you. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique. And you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my wall, you jam my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. I wanna get you out on the floor and dance until my feet are numb. And when you get close, it's like rubber in my bones. And by the look in your eyes, you're melting down into the stage of stone. Hey, hey, people say you're wild and unpredictable.
Hey.
Hi.
You there, Paula? I thought, well, we need to wake up, and you know what? Actually, we have a caller, and I'm really curious about this one. It's 810, and that is 513. Is that let's see, could that be a friend of yours? Let me see.
I don't know. 810.
Okay.
You know what? That might be Laura, my bookseller.
Oh, okay. Hello, Laura.
Hello. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for calling. Hi.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a great time listening to you guys talk and hear about Paula's book.
You guys, I want to tell you something about Laura. Now, the great thing is that you guys invited invite some friends and coworkers,
and
I'm so appreciative of that. But let me tell you about Laura, because Laura and I had never even met. And she, I don't know if she got an advanced copy of the book, but she signed on to be the official bookseller.
Okay.
And she travels everywhere I go that's a non-bookstore-related book signing.
Uh-huh.
And Little Professor Book Center in Fenton has been amazing. Laura and I and her staff did 30 book signings the first 5 months the book was out.
Oh, my God.
30.
Woo!
And she's got four kids.
Yeah, it's been quite a pleasure following Paula around. It's a great time, and I'm not like those other friends those people that called in first, because I didn't know Paula at all when I read the book. So it was great to read a first time author like you did, Judy. It sounds like not knowing much about her when I read
nothing.
And like she said, I have four kids, and to sit down and read a book is not something I get to do very often, even though I'm one of those independent booksellers that she talked about earlier. But it took me about 2.5-3 days, which is almost a record for me. So I really enjoyed it.
You know, it's so important to support the independent bookseller. It's important to buy books.
Oh,
but these guys have so much trouble competing against Borders and Barnes & Noble. And we're grateful
and
for all of them.
There's room
for all of us.
Absolutely. It really is. It's tough, especially in this economy. But you know, there's some great independent bookstores, in all areas of our country. And I appreciate the plug you guys gave us all, you know, there at the beginning. And Amazon and Borders and Barnes & Noble, they do their jobs too. But you know, there's nothing like going into an independent bookstore and getting to, you know, wander around for a while and look at what they have.
Yeah, I was in one yesterday, and I thought, you know, it's just so nice to go in a little privately owned bookstore, and you say hi to the owner, and it's so not, you know, with Amazon, I go online and I click and I buy, but
very impersonal. Yeah. I mean, but we're still glad because you can get things you can't get anywhere else. You know, I get lost in every bookstore.
Yeah.
It's never a quick run-in for me. I love books. I love the way they look and feel, and I just love books.
And really, the thing about independent bookstores is the booksellers and how good they are at what they do. You know, and I wish I was better at what I do, but I have a great staff that reads, you know, voraciously, and all of us loved Paula's book, so...
Yeah,
it's not hard to sell that one.
Hey, Laura, you've had some fun adventures, though. This is the interesting thing is because I am on the air in Detroit. poor Laura and their staff, the stuff they see when people come up to me.
What do they see? Gotta know. Go on. Tell us.
Well, everybody thinks they know Paula, you know, because she is so easy to know and love when you watch her on TV every day. And so, you know, they just kind of want to tell her their life story, and we just kind of, you know, take it all in. But it is a great time going to these book signings with everybody that, you know, that appreciates a good book. So
You know, we see you on TV, and people do really and truly, you get to know that person. Like, I mean, they're your next-door neighbor or your mother, your father, and I guess that can be kind of weird, though, huh, Paula?
Well, my favorite story is Laura was out of town. You know what story I'm going to tell, don't you? Laura was out of town, and we were at this book fair, and they gave me this little tiny room to, you know, to have a panel discussion with some readers. And everybody had cleared out, and this guy comes in, and he's got the biggest, weirdest eyes. I mean, he's, like, creeping me out.
Oh, no.
And Laura's bookseller, I mean, her assistant, is this really tall. She met her husband at a tall person's convention. She's, like, 6'2 in her stocking feet.
Oh, God.
And she sees this guy come in, and he is staring right at me, clearly trying to gain full eye contact and engage me. And I'm shifting around. I'm very uncomfortable. I don't want to do anything to engage this guy or to encourage him. And her assistant says, "Oh, well, I guess I'll leave you two alone." I was like,
"Oh, no!
You go anywhere."
Oh, my God.
That was so funny.
Leave you two alone.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, what are you thinking? This is the time to stay. Did you read the book?
Did you even look at it?
Did you even look at it? I know. It was
that's
hilarious.
Amazing. You know, being a public figure like that, though, Paula, I guess, you know, that's why you are. People think they know you. They think, you know, you're part of them. And you know, it's like, but I cannot imagine getting, like, obsessed with this. I don't know, but some people do. And you are one that it happens to. And, gosh.
Oh,
you know,
it's fine. It's people are kind, mostly kind.
Mostly kind. Oh, but
I'm not a police reporter anymore. And so, you know, a police reporter, you're not sent out of the building unless somebody's dead, dying, burning, or decomposing.
That's
it's just a grisly job. You trade on the misery of others. But, you know, I'm not a police reporter anymore. So I do safe stuff. I jump out of airplanes.
Oh, you jump out? Is that all you do, Paul?
Sure. You know, I ride on a personal watercraft on live television in the middle of Lake Huron. You know, I do safe stuff now.
You actually do jump out of airplanes.
I did on live television. It was terrifying.
Oh. How scary was that?
It was. And I told my mother that I was doing it, and all of a sudden it was just silent, and I thought I'd dropped the call. And I, you know, I'm like, razza, frazza, smack, or frack, I dropped the call. She said, "No, I'm still here."
She goes, "What did I write?
Right.
Your twin isn't doing this right."
No, I believe in adventure points. Life's an adventure, and I love collecting the points.
You love it.
I do.
Yeah. And, of course, you'd have to because of the life you're leading. I mean, you would absolutely have to. And when you put that into writing, that's what keeps us glued to the book. I mean, we want to know.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm telling you know, I really, there is another caller, which is 631. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Could it possibly be somebody who's not a friend?
I don't know. Hello, 631?
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
It's Shemaine.
Shemaine!
How are you?
This is my best friend.
Oh, this is your friend.
No,
I'm enjoying the show, and I just wanted to tell you, you've got people asking questions in the chat room.
They've got
questions. So awesome. I figure, you know, she's got such a great engaging way. People are asking questions. So.
Awesome. Can you talk for just a moment, Shemaine, and
sure.
I will answer some questions.
Oh, sure. I figured I'd just let you know because I saw it in there. I was just enjoying listening because, by the way, I've seen you on television, and when I've been in Detroit, I've been to Detroit like two, three times,
great.
And I'm up that early in the morning. So I'm a morning person too. So
thank you. What's your name, Shemaine?
Shemaine.
Hey, Shemaine. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And it looks like, you know, I've been trying to get your book from Daily Swan. He's supposed to send me a copy. I told him, I said, you know what? I'll go in. I put in an order for it because I'm not normally a person who reads those kinds of books myself. I thought of myself as a murder mystery because, you know, this kind of get like, you know, kind of the same rote, but from what I've heard and all the reviews, I said, she sounds like she's got a real nice little catchy. I think I'm going to read this.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent.
It's so good, Shemaine. You will not be able to put it down. I'm telling you true. I am not the one who reads a mystery myself, but I picked this up and I went, oh, my God.
So glad. I'm glad to hear it because I kind of got away from it for a bit because, you know, you have your regular names that you know and this kind of thing, and they're kind of just, I'm not nothing against them, but they're doing the same story. And I said, you know, this sounds interesting. I will plunk down the money for this, and I'll go to an independent bookseller, I promise you.
Well, you know what? We want you to patronize all bookstores, but if you go by an independent bookseller, then
We can. There are a few here that we can do it. And then the other thing I love to go to because I'm in New York, and I can try to get over to the Strand. The Strand I love, and they seem to have everything in there. So I will go over there and say, okay, if you don't have it, you need to get it.
Bring in a couple of copies. Let's get this thing to the tipping point, y'all.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we have a question in the chat room. And thank you, Shemaine, for getting me. Spike Spielberg, he wants to know, what market are you in, and what do you feel is a great journalistic story?
Well, I'm in the Detroit market.
Okay.
So that's where I work. And what do I think is a great journalistic story? Do you know what? This is a great time to be a journalist.
Oh.
Start there. What an exciting time to be a journalist. Even with all the bad that's going on in the world and the economy, we have a front row seat to history. There's so much going on in our country and in our world, and it's just an amazing. I just think that right now is probably the most interesting time I've had as a journalist. The most interesting.
Well, you know, Spike, if you'd like to call in, you're absolutely welcome, and please do. He said, "Thank you."
You're welcome. So, wait, people are chatting?
Yeah, and, you know, I hadn't even had a moment to look in because I've been so engrossed in this story. And I know that, actually, our co-host, Beth, are you still there, Beth?
Uh-huh.
Hi. Did you have any questions you'd like to ask or comments you'd like to make?
Well, I'm just waiting for the next book because I know I'm going to love the first one.
Thank you.
Are you going to write about the other stalkers, too?
Well, the second book is the continuation of this book.
Mm-hmm.
And the first draft is pretty much done. I'm still trying to get the first 100 pages reviewed. But I have another book that I've written. I've actually written four novels, and this is the first one to be published. And then I already have a pretty good idea of the third one that I'd like. And believe it or not, I've also written three children's books.
Oh.
And so I'd love to get my children's books published as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What a switch.
Yeah.
Murder mystery to children's books.
You know, writing. I just love to write. You know, before you guys get any other questions, you know what I'd love to do if we have time?
What's that?
I'd love to read the prologue because it's very, very telling.
Please
read it.
Maybe
not even a minute.
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
This is how the book starts.
All right.
I hate my life today. The clock is ticking. I have less than 3 hours before news time, and I have to have something to feed the monster. Feeding the monster, that's what we call it. The monster is bigger and more powerful than any of us. It's hungry 4 times a day, and it needs a snack just about every hour on the hour. The monster is a newscast, and it must be placated no matter what, at 5:30 in the morning, at noon, at 5 in the evening, and 11 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter if your story is half-baked or well done. At your designated slot, you must feed the monster. The monster is always hungry, and if it doesn't eat, you die. That's how it works, and that's why I hate my life today. Every television news reporter, any given day. The reason I read that is I was telling you how the comments that I get, the emails that I get from people who've read this book, and I am on Facebook, by the way, so if you want to Facebook friend me, then I can put you on my readers, in my readers club list. But
all
people
right.
tell me it changes the way they watch the news. Now, if you've been following Detroit news at all, you remember our former mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, was brought up on perjury charges. He had broken his condition of bond, and he was going to a hearing. And pretty much all the journalists thought, nah, he's got all the judges in his pocket. He's not going to go anywhere. Lo and behold, he stands before the judge, and the judge says the word remanded. And I'm like, he says, to the custody of the Wayne County Jail. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I yell across the newsroom, get me a crew. So they get me a photographer, and I yell across my shoulder, you know, as soon as we find people, I'll set up and I'll go live. And so we end up in this place called Campus Martius, which is this kind of public gathering place in downtown Detroit at lunchtime. Photographer pulls up on the grass. He puts up the mast, which is that long mast you see on these big live trucks that beams the signal back to the station. And I jump out of the truck and I grab the first person I see and I said, I'm Paula Tutman and I'm from Channel 4. The mayor of Detroit has just been sent to jail. I go live in 3 minutes. Will you talk to me? She looks at me and she has the most serious look on her face and she says, I understand. You have to feed the monster.
Ooh.
And it was somebody who had been reading the book and totally understood. And luckily, she went live with me, and there was a Borders bookstore across the street. And I walked her over there so I could get her a copy and sign it personally. Isn't that hilarious?
That is a story. My God. Well, you got to feed the monster.
People get it. People understand. Why do we cover some stories and not other stories? This book really explains it.
It tells it.
It really puts us under a microscope, and not in a flattering way, just in an honest way.
An honest way.
It's not always pretty.
No.
Yeah, journalism ain't pretty stuff, y'all.
No, I think it's not. You know, we had Gloria Allred on our show, and Gloria is a civil rights attorney, and she says it like it is. You know, she doesn't mince words. And I thought to myself, she has a real calling in life to really be honest. Just say, well, that's what I see. And, you know, you have to be fearless. And I think you jump out of planes, you're fearless.
Or stupid.
Or stupid, yeah, we don't know which one. I'm
just
kidding. Because we're not all called to do that. And some of us actually, you know, it's kind of like you're out there on the front lines. You're going, oh, okay, what? I got to be there. I'll be there in 5 minutes. You jump in a cab. Is that how it is?
Well, you know, it's funny you would ask that, because one night I was I'd fallen asleep, just exhausted, face down. I wasn't working morning then. Just face down on the bed, clothes on, makeup on, shoes on, but the television was on. And I just kind of opened my eyes, and there was a breaking news story. The station happened to be on the other station, because I was watching a program. I would never watch news for another television station. But anyways, it happened to be on the other station, and I realized that this breaking news story, this gas main leak or something like that, was like 5 minutes from my house. And I rolled out of bed and was on the air within 15 minutes. The funny thing is, the next day, my news director walks up to me and he says, you know, there was a woman on TV last night who looked oddly like you, but with no lipstick, and her hair wasn't done. And I said, I rolled out of bed. I was on the air from bed to air in 15 minutes. You don't get to say anything to me.
That was me.
That was me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, who
would go out without their lipstick but a television reporter? I mean,
you know,
come
the
on.
The story takes precedence. The story is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, not lunch, not I've got to go to the bathroom. The story, is the ruler.
That's it. And you got to go with the guy. And you know what? I'm going to ask you a couple of more questions. You repeated, but let's have your website.
Oh, it's easy. The book is called Deadline. And so the website is deadlinethebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great excerpt. It's like a book on tape excerpt on the right-hand side, as well as an audio version of the notes on Deadline. It really talks about how I had to dig deep and what I had to do to get the book written. And it's a little poignant because my dad was one of my test readers, and he's very sick. He's a stroke victim, and he doesn't even remember. You know, half the time, I don't think he knows I wrote a book. But this was a man who was so pivotal, you know, because he was so honest. He didn't, you know, he's not one of those dads that says, everything you do is lovely.
He's one of those guys
that says, nope, the crap meter just went off, you know.
Thanks, Dad. But what, you know what, though, that's what you need. You need somebody that's going to really tell you what it. Now, also, you have a website, right, paulatutman.com?
It takes you to the same place.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what?
I was smart before I get big,
okay.
Before I blow up in this place.
You are a big boss.
I got ownership of my name and my book, and so nobody can blackmail me and, you know, put a porn site up at paulatutman.com. I own the net, the org, the biz. So you can go to paulatutman.com, paulaltutman.com, deadlinethebook.com, any of the above.
What else? And then it's published by?
Daily Swan.
Oh, great. And I want to tell you, we have a little surprise for you. Our co-host, Beth Berry, has actually done quite a bit of psychic work, and she picked up something about you, and I want her to share that with you. It's good. So
uh-oh.
If you want to hear it.
Let's have it, Beth.
Let's have it.
Am I here?
You're here, Beth.
Oh, good, because I hung up.
I don't know what
I heard that.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that you've already written four books because I was getting four for you.
Hmm.
So you may write four more books besides the ones you've already written, or you'll have four published.
Awesome.
But also, there is going to be a movie or two or one or two TV shows about your books.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
No, they're going to be made into a TV show. And I also want to tell you to send a book to Oprah because I see you on her show.
I do too.
Who at Oprah? Tell me, did you see that?
I have no idea where, but...
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, and you know, Beth has been on my show. She has a friend, Amy, and they were both on my show. And I got to tell you, Paula, if you knew how it came about her being on my show today, you'd go, oh, I'm listening, because I really confirmed that. I can see you absolutely having a movie made about this. And
wow.
I just really look forward to it because I'm the type, I'm more visual, and even though I read the book, I'm looking forward to seeing it on the screen because that, to me, is kind of my bag, you know, see it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But you are welcome to come back on when you get your next book or even before that.
I'd love to. You know, have your people call my people. What
absolutely.
Fun.
It's been a ball.
What fun this has been. Thank you so much, ladies. Beth, thank you so much. I sure hope you're right.
I received that.
Judy, what a ride. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Paula. We really appreciate it. Thank you,
nice
Beth. I love you both.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to end the show with...
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. But we get ready now. Go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do. But honey, lay off them shoes and don't you... step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Let's go, cat! Burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay off of my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay over my blue suede shoes. Rock it! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready now. Go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay off of my blue suede shoes. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay off of my blue suede shoes.